Bible said in Job chapter number 1, said there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright. One that feared God and eschewed evil. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters, and his substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, and everyone his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned, cursed God in their hearts. And thus did Job continually. Pay attention to this verse right here. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray tonight that you would help us. We pray tonight that you would bless the services. God, we thank you tonight for the folks that came out. Lord, I pray, God, we're not going to preach to the ones that ain't here. And God, we're not going to select these folks that's here for them that ain't here. Lord, I pray, dear God, tonight in Jesus' name, Lord, that you'd come and manifest yourself. Speak to our hearts, and God, speak to this church. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done, and thank you, God, for what you're continuing to do at Camden Baptist Temple. Lord, thank you, God, for the power of God. Thank you, Lord, for everything, God, we've saw you do over the last several years, God, that we've been associated with this church. And I pray, oh God, today that, Father, today, even now, God, you'd start something for the glory of God that man couldn't fan out, man couldn't cool down. And, oh God, raise up a light in these last days. Heavenly Father, Lord, that somebody could see that there is hope and there is help in the Lord right here on this corner. God, we'll thank you, and Lord, we'll praise you, our God. Pray you touch thy servant tonight, Lord. Pray, God, you touch thy people. Lord, more than anything in this world, we pray that you receive the reward of your sufferings. God, we'll glorify thy good name in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I think when I was here last time, I preached on a thought about, amen, when his journey takes a detour. I've been trying to think what to do. I thought about preaching a message on how to live like the devil for the Lord. Amen. I don't figure that'd work, but you know, there is some wild things you could learn about that old joker. If you did it, you'd probably live better for God. Amen. I'm probably not going to, number one, he's dependable. You count on that joker. You ever thought about that? He's faithful. Number two, he knows the Bible. You're going to live like a devil for the Lord, you're going to need to know the Bible. Number three, talks to God on a regular basis. Amen. Number four, he's not influenced by peer pressure. Number five, he hangs around only dedicated Christians. Amen. These little old weaklings, amen. These eat up with flesh Christians and stuff like that. The devil ain't got to mess with them. He's already got them. If you sell out to God, he'll be knocking on your front door. Hang around. Number six, he's a seeker of souls. You ever thought about that? Number seven, he knows where he's going to spend eternity. How about you? That's just a few things I picked up. Oh, pretty good one, sir. I'm just going to look at verse number six tonight and that phrase there, now there was a day. I'd like to try to preach on that a little bit tonight. We find, amen, that there's been good days in our lives. There's been special days. Day you got saved, that ought to be the special day. You agree with me there? Day you got, amen, that you got spirit filled, and amen, if you ain't been spirit filled yet, you ought to seek God to fill you. Amen. I mean, you need to empty yourself and ask God to fill you up. Young women need it to be good mothers and godly mothers. Amen. Men need it to be good employees and good workers on the job. We all right with that tonight? Have a good day. I can take you to the place where I got saved, but I can take you to the place where I got filled with spirit too. Amen. Amen. I'm talking about, amen, hey, it's a good day when God let me start and God let you start in His service. Amen. Good days when God answered and delivered us out of problems and out of troubles and, amen, out of heartaches and out of some storms. And God, amen, all of a sudden, give us the victory. We heard about, amen, somebody else getting a victory, and we heard, and amen, but then one day God allowed the devil to put us in a storm. Amen, you listen to me, and then God let you and me come out of it. That's a good day. I just thought tonight, I want to say, we look here in verse number 6, it said, now there was a day. And look who showed up, and Satan came among them. Amen. And there was a day, I'll say, there ain't been a day when the devil has come in your life yet. Sure, if it will happen for long. You're not going to get left out. If you ever spell out to God, He's coming by and knocking on your front door. Amen. Long as you're in the flesh, He don't have to fool with you. Long as you're in the world, He don't have to fool with you. You know what kind of amazes me, Brother Edward, these days? If we got a lot of people, amen, and they're content with edge living. I can't figure that out. They want to see just how close they can live to this old world and, amen, still be tangled up with it and still be exposed to it, yet but they still want to have an experience with the Lord. Amen. But I'm just going to tell you, it does not mix. It does not work. You're going to still have to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And if that don't happen, guess what? You won't go very far with God. I mean, there's a day. I mean, can I say this to you? I'll give you a few things about that Joker tonight. Number one, he's intelligent. Amen. Amen. Whether you believe it or not, he's a lot smarter than you and me. Amen. He's been whooping people a long time. Hey, I'm just trying to tell you, you better think about it, Adam. Hey, Adam lived in a perfect environment, but I'm telling you, time the devil got through with him, he was in a mess. He was exiled from the very thing that God created from him. All right. Hey, the meekest man in all earth was Moses, but he lost his cool, amen, and didn't get to go in the promised land. It wasn't because that he was a type of the law. It was because he disobeyed God. Hey, and I'm telling you tonight, you know why you won't proceed with the Lord? Hey, because the devil somehow can trick you into disobeying with God. He can stop you in your tracks from the very thing that God would want you and me to do and wreck our lives. Amen. I mean, I think about, amen, you think about Samson, strongest man in the whole world, amen, and yet the devil brought him down. Solomon, the wisest man that ever walked on the face of the earth beside the Lord Jesus Christ, and he brought him down. David, the most devoted man, the Bible said he was a man after God's own heart, and the devil brought him down. He's pretty smart. He's pretty smart. Hey, can I say this to you tonight? He don't give up. He ain't got no quit in him. He ain't got no back up in him. Were you with me right there? I mean, he don't know what quit, give up is. He could care less. He might get tired, but he's still going to long chomp back. Amen. He's going to blaspheme God. It's the last thing he ever does. I'm telling you why. Because he's got a purpose to destroy anything that's godly. Amen. Would you agree with me tonight that he's invisible? But yet you sometimes still see him. He's getting you. He's getting me. You listen? Amen. Tonight, you can be in love with your preacher. You can be in love with your church. And by this time tomorrow, amen, you'll be trying to figure out how to destroy it. Amen. Amen. You can get full of the devil quicker than you can fill a bathtub up with water. Amen. You better hear me tonight. Hey, listen, I've seen people and I've heard people, and in their heart, you listen to what I'm saying to you, in their heart, what they said was true when they stood up and said, I'll never get mad at this preacher, I'll never get mad at this church, I found a home. This is where God wants me to plant. This is where God wants me to bloom. And I'm telling you, it was the intention of their heart to do just what they said. But there's a real devil. There's a real roaring devil. And I'm telling you, there's a devil that hates the church. There's a devil that hates God's people. There's a devil that hates God's way. And I'm telling you, that devil, he wanted them and he got them. And he's messed them up and he's wrecked their lives. And if you're not careful, if you're not yielding to God, he'll wreck yours. We all right with that tonight? I'm just trying to say, hey, he don't give up. He's invisible. He can get you and he can get me. I've seen him getting preachers. I think they are his most favorite targets. I think they're his most favorite mode of transportation sometimes. Amen. Would you agree with me tonight? He's immoral. He promotes filthiness. He promotes nakedness. He's an inventor of evil things. Joker, he's immortal. You can be dead and he'll still try to destroy you. Amen. You can be on your deathbed and he'll still try to defeat you. I'm just trying to say, he's the dead. There was a day, are you listening to him? I'm trying to build a picture. There was a day. I mean, Job has got all the blessings of God. He's enjoyed all the benefits of God. He was a perfect man. That Bible said the Lord said there's none like him. He's perfect and he's upright. And if the Lord says you're doing perfect and upright, I say you're doing pretty good. But being perfect and upright did not exempt him from the devil and the onslaught and the destruction that the devil was going to try to bring in his life. You listening to me? And you think as you selling out to God ain't gonna exempt you neither. No. You probably fixing to run headlong into him. Amen. I'm talking about he'll fight you. I remember old Brother Jack Wood telling us, boys, I'll be dead 15-20 years and they'll still be trying to cuss me and tear, and they do. Huh? I'm talking about tales of day. I mean, Job's foe was undeserved. Job's fight was undeserved. But God put Job in this battle, not for what Job had done wrong, but for what Job had done right. God, back tonight, want to put you and me in a battle. And I mean, it looks hopeless and looks helpless. But if we'll yield to God, we still can come out the victor. Listen to me. Think about, amen. Hey, here's the day. And let me just say this. Would you agree? The Bible tells us that he came walking. He didn't have a problem come walking up. No, he came walking right up to God. He didn't have no fear of God in him at all. He walked right up there and the Lord said, where have you been? He said, I've been walking. Job 1 verse 7. Amen. And then he not only came walking, but he came wickedly. With all his old wickedness and all his old filth, he had no shame about walking into the holy presence of God with his old dirty, filthy, vile self. Oh, I'm just saying to you, child of God, we ought to not want to have any of them kind of traits on us, anything that's unpure, anything that's not right. Hey, we ought to want to stuff it. We ought to want to abandon it. We ought to want to be clean when we try to come into the presence of the Lord. Because, that's what God, he's looking for somebody, amen, with a clean heart and a clean hands and a pure heart. But the devil, he came wickedly. He came willfully. The Lord didn't have to hog tie. No, he came in there willfully. I ain't bragging on him, but I'm just trying to tell you that he has no fear of God. And if he has no fear of God and knew that, and me and you're saved tonight, and we're supposed to fear the Lord, we ought to want to come willfully. Am I all right with this tonight? Amen. I'm talking about being willfully. Come into the presence of God. Amen. With the fear of the Lord. You know that Bible's still right when he said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? Hey, I'm going to tell you, we ought to fear him. We ought to fear him. Hey, it ought to be a reverential fear. It's the Lord. Amen. And I'm telling you, he gives us the breath to breathe. He gives us life. Amen. He can reach down and take it any time. But we love God and he loves us. He's our Father. We his child. And we're supposed to yield ourselves and to come into his presence with thanksgiving. And we ought to do it willfully. Amen. I mean, he came in with all his old wiles. He didn't hold nothing back. Amen. You know what most people get in trouble with God? They try to hide stuff. He knows everything about you. He knows more about you than you know yourself. Amen. He knows what you're going to do 5 years from now. But he's trying to do something for you to turn at you. Listen to me. You know, sometimes while he allows storms and troubles in our life, he's trying to turn us from something that's going to destroy us down the road. He don't do it. But he does that because he loves us. But we ought to come in. He come in there. He wasn't trying to hide nothing. When we come in the presence of the Lord, we don't need to hide nothing. I mean, there was a day when he came in. Can I say this to you tonight? When he come in, would you agree with me? It was a bad day for Job. Because he come in with one thing on his mind, and that was the destruction of Job. And he didn't care what he had to do to destroy him. He didn't care what he had to do to hurt him. All he was interested in is hurting him. Amen. There was a day when Satan came. And then there was a day, number two, when suffering came. I'm going to tell you, when the devil comes around, it won't be long. There'll be some suffering coming along. You listen to me? You better hear me tonight. Boy, I thought about, hey, listen, with me and Brother Edward, we listened to that tape, and son, I squalled, and he squalled, amen, that little old boy making that 911 call, said, who's going to take care of me now? Hey, you listen to me? I mean, his daddy done shot and killed his mama, and his mama, amen, his grandma, and he's calling the 911 operator and said, my daddy just shot my mama and shot my grandma and set them here all alone. Who's going to take care of me now? Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Don't feel sorry for that low-life, low-down, dirty, filthy scum, bald devil, amen. He did not. He ain't never felt one bad about that at all. I'll tell you what he's doing. Because he's a devil and he's a God-hater and he's against everything that's right. Oh, I'm telling you, he had one thing on his mind. He was happy. He was happy. He was happy. He was happy to bring destruction and bring death. That's his nature. That's his character. He didn't care that that little boy would grow up without a mama, grow up without a daddy. He sat over and enjoyed the fact. Suffering, suffering, suffering came. I'm going to tell you, there'll be days when suffering will come. I mean, you look at Job, amen, and you look at Job chapter 2. Now, I'm telling you, he takes off on him, and all of a sudden, man, the fire falls in Job 1 while he's speaking, and while he's speaking, and while he's speaking, and while he's speaking. It just kept compounding. It just kept rolling. It just kept snowballing. Suffering! Suffering, suffering, when the devil comes around. You want to watch the evidence. when the devil's around, you don't know how there'll be intense suffering. Huh? You better hear me tonight. I'm trying to tell you, I mean suffering to come in your heart. There'll be suffering in your heart. He'll bring doubt. He'll try to get you to doubt the things of God. He'll try to get you to doubt the mind of God. He'll try to get you to doubt your salvation. He'll try to get you, amen. He'll try to discourage you in any way. He'll try to tell you, you ought to withdraw yourself. You ought to pull back. You don't really need to go down there to the church. You don't need to be a burden down there. All you're going to be is going in there and carrying this problem. This is going to be a burden to them. Just stay away. That's the devil. That's the devil. That's the devil. Hey, you need to run hurriedly to the church when problems come. That's where you're going to get your help. Amen. I mean, there's suffering to come in your heart. Suffering to come to your health. Suffering to come to your household. Suffering to even come to your hope. Your hope will look drear. Your hope will look gone. Amen. You'll look, son, I still remember it. Amen. I really don't want to forget it because it reminds me one more time how much God really loved me. Boy, when they told me they were sitting there and all them doctors come in that room and said, we're going, today's the day we make that decision that we're going to pull that plug. I said, man, well, I must really be sick. But I heard that in that coma and then they went out there and got my wife and told her that they're fixing to take me over there. She needed to come say goodbye. And she walked in there and just put her mouth right up against my ear and said, it ain't supposed to end this way. It wasn't supposed to be this way, but I love you. And I'm going to sing you this little chorus. And she sung that little song, boy, I entered into that valley of the shadow of death. And I'm going to tell you something, buddy. I mean, that devil got to heckling me and got to pouring it on me. Boy, I'm going to tell you, it looked awful. It looked bad. It looked black. I'm going to tell you, out there, I thought, where in the world are you at? I couldn't see the Lord. You listen to what I'm telling you. I said, Lord, I don't know where you at, but I just need a word from God. And somehow, when it didn't look like I had anything, I'm telling you to hang on to. I'm telling you the great God Almighty, whose I am and whose man. He broke through all that darkness right on time. And he came in there and should have been right here with you all the time. I made you a promise and I said I'd never leave you. But if it hadn't have been for the church, boy. Hey, you listen to me. Oh, I'm telling you, praise God, amen. Hey, he said, I've been here every day. I mean, that devil didn't care about, he didn't care about the suffering my family was going through. He don't care about the suffering you're going through. He don't care about your troubles tonight. He don't care about your sorrows tonight. He don't care about your finances tonight. Only thing he cares about how to make it worse. Am I making any sense tonight? All he cares about tonight is how to make you, how to get you somehow, get you twisted against the church. Get your mind twisted away from God. Hey, all he cares about is keep you, get you a song, get your song away from you. Hey, I'm telling you, all he cares about tonight, how to make it darker, how to make it harder, how to make it where you can't even see God in all you're thinking. Oh, but I'm telling you, that's why you stay near the church. That's why you stay in the church. That's why you sing when you don't feel like singing. Just sing anyhow. I'm telling you, thank God, there'll be some joy that'll come in the morning. There's some coming tonight. Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, suffering will come. Hey, and there's a day when the Satan will come, but there's a day when that suffering will come. Boy, I'm going to tell you. I mean, we watched it. I've watched it in others. I've watched it myself. That enemy, he don't care. You ain't going to call none of his groups and they going to come help you. You listen to me tonight? No. Oh, but I'll tell you what you do, you call on God. Hey, boy, I'm going to tell you, I couldn't even remember a verse. It got down the only two verses I could ever remember. 1 John 5:14, this is confidence we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, we know that He heareth us. I'm going to tell you, praise God, amen. Boy, I don't know how. I said, Lord, I just could use a little word. I don't need much, but I just need a word. I thank God, amen. He sent me more than just a little. He sent me a lot. I'm telling you, praise God, what a Savior, what a Savior, what a Savior tonight. I'm just trying to tell you, there's a day when something comes. But I'm getting ahead of myself, praise God. Amen. Hey, you listen to me. Oh, I'm just trying to tell you, there's a day. Man, I've seen the heartache come. That boy of mine got out of church. And I prayed. And I told the Lord, whatever you got to do. God, whatever you got to do, you got to do something to me. Amen. See, I remember a time when my old mama got down and prayed and said, Lord, whatever you got to do to get his attention. I remember that. God, you get it. Well, I got down on my knees and I said, well, Mama had to pray it and you were sufficient for her. Somehow you be sufficient for me and I'm going to pray it. He said, Daddy, take it back. He heard me. He said, take it back. I said, I ain't. I done give it to God. I said, if you get right with God, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. Well, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people come to me. And I mean, they're good people. But I'm telling you, you know, the devil and getting the voice of good people. Well, they said, you're just wasting your time. He's gone. Amen. He ain't coming back. Boy, I'm telling you, and you know all that is, that's just somebody telling you that, and they might be meaning it good, but that's just the voice of the devil got in them. They don't even know what they're talking about. You listen to me. You just keep on hanging on. You just keep on holding on. Hey, I'm telling you, praise God, amen. There's not only a day when Satan will come, but praise God, there'll be a day one day when the Savior will come. Amen. You listen to me. Hey, I'm going to tell you, praise God, boy, we got to praying. I'm telling you, I was laying there in that old coma, and he come up there, and he said he was laying his head on my old stomach. I didn't even know I was in the world then. He was crying, and he was praying, and he said, Daddy, he said, I know. He said, I'm not a preacher like you, but one of these days I'm going to be. He said, Daddy, just hang on. You can't leave this world. And somehow, I reached up there and pulled his face up to mine. Hey, I'm going to tell you, praise God, the Lord busted him in a million pieces. It wasn't long. I'm telling you, after I got out of that hospital, they told me, said, you might as well give up. He's gone. Son, I'm going to tell you, praise God, one night that old-fashioned camp meeting on a Monday night. Son, I seen God, the Holy Ghost, arrest his soul. He tore that path up to that altar. He's been a shining for God ever since. I'm telling you, thank God Almighty, you just hang on. You just hang on. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. Because there's a day when the Savior's going to come. Listen to me tonight. They told me, they said, you'll never preach again. I told my wife, I said, he'll never travel again. It's all over. Never preach again. The best we can guarantee you is a hospital bed and him in a vegetative state for the rest of his life. But I'm telling you, before God got done, Hey, I don't even know how it's still. They showed that thing to me the other day, the first time in full length, probably about a week ago. My son-in-law had that thing where I was laying there, and here I am in that coma, amen. They got to singing, God's been good. I went to waving my hand. I don't even know how I done it other than just tell you, it's the Lord. I'm telling you, I'll raise them both.
I'll raise them tonight before God, man, saying, Lord, good, He's good, He's good, He's greatly to be praised in the city of our God. Ain't nobody like Him tonight. Just trying to slay tonight. Look bad. Thirty-six chapters. The Lord never spoke a word. That's a long time in the Bible. That covers a lot of time. 36 chapters. The Lord's voice was never heard. And when He did speak in chapter 1, He wasn't talking to Job. He never talked to Job in chapter 42. Amen. You can go read your Bible. Amen. Bible in chapter 38, I think, is where He started talking to Job. He said, when I created the foundations of the earth, did I come ask you, big boy? Huh? No. No, I'm just trying to say, hey, listen, I'm telling you, thank God, amen. I'd say it's pretty bad. 10 coffins, everything you had, went to bed a multi-millionaire, amen, woke up broke as ex-convict, amen. Went to bed, people owing you, you woke up owing everybody. Everything. What if tonight, God forbid, but what if tonight you woke up and everything you had, everything that you could possess tonight, hold in your hand, it was just ashes, and you had to sit down in the middle of an ash pile, and your body was filled with boils from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head. Would you bow down like Job did? Amen, and bless the Lord. And that Bible said in all this, Job still not nor charged God foolishly. Boy, I'm telling you, it came. Boy, I'm telling you, he lost it all. And God, amen, there was a day when he came. Some of y'all, maybe you've been through some trials and some storms the last few years, but don't quit. Don't give up. It just ain't the day of the Lord in your life yet. If you hang on, it will be. You hang on, it will be. If you're a young preacher boy in here, quit trying to make all them decisions on your own. Amen. Just sit still. Just lock in here. If you don't know what to do, don't do nothing. Amen. Be still. Be still. Hey, the greatest thing that I can tell you now is being a little older, preacher, amen. The best thing to do when you don't know what to do is nothing, amen. Be still and know that I am God and I will be exalted among the heathen. God don't need you. But you need God. Sit down. Submit yourself. Amen. Under the authority of the man of God, God's put you here, amen, to put the root pastor over you. Are you listening to me? Be a blessing. Don't be a pain in the neck. Amen. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Rest. Are we all right with that? Rest in the Lord. Just rest. Be still. Rest, rest, rest. Because I'm telling you, when God ever does kick you out in His work, you'll be wishing you had rested. Amen. Tell you something tonight. Heard a fellow say this back in 2004. God would rather do for you than you do for Him. A fellow by the name of Brother Earl Hughes. Our Lord's our eternal friend. You listening to me tonight? You just hang in there. I'm telling you, you can go to the book of Job. Hey, being no Job hung in there. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. You know what the interpretation of that country English? If he kills me, I'm still going to trust him. How about you tonight? are you planted in here? I mean, you ought to plant yourself right down here in the house of God and make your mind up this. I'm born here. I'm going to serve here, and I'm going to die here faithful. Amen! God's been good to me. Over 36 years now, I've been a member of Shady Acre Baptist Church, and I ain't looking to go nowhere else. And by the help of God, I might as well just, amen. Why would I want to go somewhere else? The Lord's been too good. That Bible said in Job 42, verse 10, the Lord turned the captivity of Job. He turned the captivity of Job. He turned all that when he prayed for his friends. I don't know what it is, but there's something about God. When all the adversity that you go through, all you listening to me tonight, all the heartache, all the troubles, all the trials that you go, if somehow you want to get the Lord's ear, when everything's turned on you and everything's broke loose and you so pressed out of measure and you so down, but somehow you muster up strength to pray for others, that moves God. Amen. Because He realizes down in your heart it's still about others. Amen. You still care more for others than you care for yourself. You remember Solomon when he was a young king and he's down there and he said, Lord, this is a great people. And he said, I'm not praying for riches. I'm not praying for honor. I need wisdom because this is the greatest bunch of people in the world. They wasn't a great, they had a bunch of hard heads. Amen. But he was still trying to be a blessing, He said, God, I need wisdom to rule this thy great people. God said, I'm going to do it. God might turn your captivity. And the Lord shows up. He might turn your captivity if you still find it in your heart for others. We all right with that tonight? Oh, I'm telling you. I remember thinking about that old song, that one verse that, in my night of dark despair, Jesus heard and answered prayer. Now I'm walking free as there. Hand in hand with Jesus. Hand in hand we walk today. Hand in hand along the way. Walking thus I cannot stray. Hand in hand with Jesus. I wonder if these girls get ready to come sing. I'll be honest with you tonight. The Lord's faithful. I like to see Him take Him situations that nobody else said can be fixed. He fixed them. And people scratch their head and say, how did the Lord do that? Job lived 140 years after that storm. Four generations of more children. And the Bible said he died in a good old age. I mean, there he is. That sun's going to come up in the morning. It's going to be brighter in your life one of these days than you can ever imagine. I'm better today for what the Lord let happen to me a year ago than I was before. You listen to me now. See, there was a time when he went over there and the enemy asked if he could just touch his stuff. And then when that didn't do it, he went back and he said, but if you let me touch his body, if you let me touch him, he'll cuss you. Well, I'm telling you tonight that you... There is not a friend like the Holy Jesus. He'd be there for you when nobody else can get there. He'll love you when nobody else can love you. He'll speak peace to you when nobody else can even get to you. He didn't have... See, my family, they couldn't communicate with him. I was uncommunicable. But that didn't stop the Lord. That coma didn't stop him. Didn't even slow him down. Didn't even make him nervous. He just got in there and laid right down beside me. He said, I'm here for you. I made you a promise. I'm going to keep my end of the deal. How about you, man? I'm telling you, there's a day. You know, you look on that stuff and it's so bad when you're going through it. Boy, when God brings you out of them storms, one of these days, them storms that you're going through and some of these troubles you're going through tonight, one of these days, you're going to look back on it and say, you know, that was a blessing. One of these days, somehow, you might be saying tonight, how in the world could Paul say in all things give thanks? For this is the will of God. One of these days, that thing that you have a hard time giving thanks for tonight, 10, 15 years from now, if you just let the Lord have his way, you'll be able to hold both your hands up and say, I thank the Lord that he let me walk through that. So as they sang tonight, you need to come.